Hey, Cody.
Yes.
I got an idea for all future series drafts.
Okay.
The guy's first name is Cameron Draft.
Interesting. You caught me off guard there. Cameron what, son?
Hayward, all of them. Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Wednesday evening? Yeah, it's a Wednesday.
Yes, it's a Wednesday. I am still getting over being sick. I think you can hear it in my voice now than I thought you could originally.
He's not contagious anymore.
No, not contagious. Got COVID tested. No COVID. Just allergies with the change of season. But I am good. I'm especially wonderful because Steelers football is back.
Dang right it is, man. With a big W. Feels good. We had a victory Monday.
We did have a victory Monday.
We had a victory Sunday, too, from Penn State. That's a whole clutch thing in itself there, too. But what a wonderful way to start the week with a win when you didn't necessarily expect it.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I don't want to get too far into this conversation already. But not expecting it and being surprised are two totally different things.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it, but I was not surprised.
I was kind of optimistic. And I told everybody, because I did truly feel that the Bills were the better team out of the two going into it. You know, a lot of the positions, you looked at it and said these particular players are better than what Pittsburgh has on their roster. But yep. Pittsburgh had some areas where they clearly had the advantage as well. Just so happened that the areas where Pittsburgh had the advantage really shined.
Really shined.
Especially in the second half.
And even the... Here's the thing. Pittsburgh's, I feel like, at least in my lifetime, minus a few seasons with Ben at the beginning of his career, have always been a second-half team.
And they always...
Always.
They're always a contender, too.
Yeah.
It's you don't have too many seasons where you go into it saying, man, they're going to suck this year.
Like, no, and any,
as long as they have
did,
Ben in a good defense, there's a chance.
Anytime we did it was either because it was against the frickin' Patriots or the Raiders.
Yeah, but even so, that didn't affect your input of the entire season.
Correct,
you know what
correct.
I mean? Like, you might have thought, wow, this game, I really don't think we have much of a chance. Like, I was going into this one thinking, it's either going to be close.
Or a blowout.
Or, no, I didn't think it would be a blowout.
Okay.
I thought it would be close, but I thought it was more likely that Buffalo would win than Pittsburgh. But I also felt like there was a decent chance that Pittsburgh would win it. Just that
it's one of those
a little
moments.
More advantageous with some of the abilities with Josh Allen and that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Their wide receiver core is just pretty incredible, too.
Well, it's one of those moments where, like, when you write a team off and you just kind of, like, yeah, we you know, Bills should win this. That happens all the time.
That's what it happens, man. That's when Pittsburgh plays their best sometimes.
Listen, that happened with the Saints game. You know, Green Bay should win this.
Oh, yeah.
That one was a little different.
Apparently Aaron Rodgers is a little bit busy with his State Farm commercials. I don't know, man.
Discount double interception. What?
Ooh,
yikes.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Double O quarterback rating.
Yeah, really. Ooh. Not good. Not good. But before we get too far into all of this, let's talk about pregame. Before
yeah.
the game.
So we're going to pick up where we left off on our last episode, which would have been Tuesday before the game. So there were some transactions since then. We were in limbo as far as what the final few members of the practice squad would be, which got filled out, I want to say, like the next day,
yeah,
maybe 2 days later. Of course, my personal favorite, Henry Mondo.
Mr. Mondo.
Signed to the practice squad along with a wide receiver by the name of Tyler Vaughns and a outside linebacker by the name of Delonte Scott, which rounded out positions 14, 15, and 16 on the practice squad.
Very nice, very nice.
Shortly thereafter, they announced the protected players for the week, which is typically a Wednesday thing. I think that all happened about the same day, which we then had who protected for that
so,
first game?
Henry Mondo.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kevin Rader.
Better, yeah.
Tyler Simmons. Or Jalen Samuels, excuse me, not Tyler Simmons. Jalen Samuels. I know, I forgot about him. Jalen Samuels and Cody White.
Yeah.
For week one, which I think most of those were expected.
Yeah,
I think Jalen, you only protect him because you still want to trade him.
And it's like the next man up at all those positions, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if somebody goes down, that's who you would bring onto the team for sure. So important people, you know, if you were to have a 56-man roster, those guys would all be on the team right now. So
yeah.
That's why you're protecting those guys, because you figure you're one injury away from any one of them being called up and remaining on the 52 for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of players that we all love, you love Henry Mondo, but we all love Mr. T.J. Watt.
But how could you not?
How could you not? Full participation in practice on Wednesday.
Yes.
Which was great.
Which was a sign of things to come, because let's be honest,
we were all freaking out. That's just the flat out truth.
Yeah, and we knew that he wasn't going to play if he hadn't practiced in full by Wednesday. So he practiced in a sign of good faith, and then signed his 4-year, $112 million extension with $80 million.
$80 million guaranteed.
$80 million. And the fun story on this, the one I love, if you haven't seen this, I think it was Adam Schefter tweeted this out.
Oh, yeah?
That T.J. Watt literally went into the front office of the Steelers.
Against the better, or the, I don't want to say
recommendation.
The recommendation, yeah, of his agents.
Yeah, his agents said, hey, we can do better than this deal. T.J. said, hey, Mr. Rooney, I will accept that deal, and sir, if you don't mind, I gotta go work out. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Round of applause for that man.
That is the epitome of what you want to see on a hard-working team, a man that says, hey, you're paying me good enough. You don't need to do more. This is fantastic. I feel well-respected by this offer. I will take it. And I will enjoy working for you for the next 5 years.
Yep. The moment Cam Hayward retires, TJ Watt's getting that big C on his chest.
Oh, I think next year they're co-captains on the defense.
That's fair.
I think they're co-captains on the defense, and you start the transition now. I think, honestly, the only reason they didn't do it this year is because the deal wasn't done yet. And in case something unforeseen happened,
true,
and TJ decided, hey, I'm going to hold out and I'm not going to play, and then things went just absolutely awful haywire like they did with Le'Veon Bell, they weren't going to put a captain on him. You know, how can you do that when you don't know if he's going to play or not?
Fair enough. Makes sense. Makes sense for sure.
So, yeah, that was that's how that all went down, which is just wonderful. I mean, this is one of the best players in the entire NFL. When the players voted on it, they voted him number 9 best player in the entire NFL at any position.
Any position.
So, yeah.
There's only 8 guys in the league better than him. By player standpoint.
By player's vote. And not all players. But, yeah, still, that's a lot of respect on his name being voted the 9th best player in the entire NFL.
100%. So, you want to know who's not the 9th best player in the NFL?
This is somebody from the practice squad.
Yeah, his name is Rico Bussi, and he went to the IR.
We never did hear what the injury was.
No, we didn't.
We did not, unfortunately. But it sounds like maybe something might have happened in practice. That will protect Rico maybe for the year.
Maybe. We'll have to wait and see what happens with the IR. When did they put him on? Yeah, he can come back from that. I don't think he will.
Well, and it's the rules on if you're on the practice squad versus the active roster. Yeah. So being from the practice squad, it might be a little different. So what we'll try to keep an eye on for you this week is whether or not he gets released. Because they don't always go out and like brag about that when they release somebody. Yeah. But if he gets released from the injured reserve, usually that means he's cleared medical and would be ready to go again. And then they would have the opportunity to re-sign him back to the practice squad.
Makes sense.
Or someone else would if they wanted to.
Makes sense. So. Now, pregame, like pre-pregame, Steelers inactives. There was a few. You had Dwayne Haskins, who was inactive.
Correct.
Rashad Coward.
Yep.
You also had the inside linebacker, Robert Spillane, middle linebacker, who had a some kind of
shin injury.
Some kind of
shin injury. In pregame warm-ups.
Which we still don't know anything
crazy,
about.
Crazy, yeah.
James has an idea.
My speculation on it is, just being that shin is such a weird thing, unless he pulled a muscle or something in there, I'm wondering if maybe he took an accidental cleat to the shin, maybe got a bad slice and needed some stitches. If that were the case, you're not going to let him play when he just was stitched up, because he's just going to rip the stitches right out.
Unless it needs time to heal.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, which would be weird. But
weird because you wouldn't understand how. But
yeah, and you wouldn't think they'd be running full tilt in pregame warm-ups either. Just more stretching than anything.
Yeah.
But maybe something popped when he was stretching. You never know.
Maybe.
But other two inactives for the game were Akello Witherspoon, the corner, and defensive end Isaiah Loudermilk.
Sad to see that one. I was sad to see Loudermilk not play, because I think he would have gotten in the rotation. I think he would have played a little bit.
Here's my suspicion on that one. one thing that you're going to be looking for from Loudermilk for his first couple years on the team, and this is me assuming that he's going to make the team in the next couple years as well, because I think he looked really good in the preseason.
Yeah.
A lot of promise, and I think the team really likes him. One thing you're going to want from him is get bigger and stronger. If you tell him week one, hey, we're going to make you inactive for at least the first like 6 weeks or so unless an injury comes up, go hard in the weight room. He doesn't have to worry about whether or not he's dressing on Sunday and whether or not he's going to be sore still from a workout. He can just go as hard as possible in the weight room and just focus on getting stronger during the season.
You're not wrong.
That would be a strategy. Well, it's like redshirting somebody in college.
It makes sense. And here's the thing. Even without him, which I think he would have been pretty decent. Like, I think he would have been a... I don't know. Anyways, not to go too far into that. Our front four alone applied a ton of pressure. And five if you want to include, you know, coming off the bench, Alex Highsmith or whatever.
Yeah, and I think if you're looking about, like, defensive linemen, because, again, typically they're in the nickel defense, so you got two defensive linemen out there, not including your outside linebackers who kind of become defensive ends in that situation. I think Isaiah Loudermilk would be an upgrade pass rushing-wise over both Carlos Davis and Isaiah Buggs. I think he offers more pass rushing juice than both of those guys.
I would agree.
But both of them are going to be a little bit more experienced with shedding an NFL blocker and being possibly better against the run at this stage.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably a little bit of
protecting. I felt no disrespect for Loudermilk. It's okay.
That's good.
And then obviously Witherspoon probably doesn't know the playbook very well yet.
Yeah, and
it makes sense.
And there's other factors involved with that as well.
Clearing health stuff with the trade.
So Witherspoon, being that he was a free agent this year, was signed to a one-year, $4 million deal and could possibly factor into the compensatory formula. Ooh. In a negative manner for Pittsburgh, obviously.
Ouch.
Because he was signed as a free agent. Even though we didn't sign him, we traded for him, he still counts into the formula.
I get what you're saying.
So the only way both him and Joe Haag, who got a game day jersey but did not play any snaps, and this is significant, the only way that they don't count against us in the compensatory formula is by not getting any snaps on game day. If you release them, they automatically count into the formula because they don't want people doing that like they did last year. They changed the rules from last year because you started seeing guys like LJ Fort get cut from a team in order to get a compensatory pick.
So you're saying the only way he doesn't get formulated into that
is if he's on the team and doesn't play.
At all, ever.
At all. Not necessarily at all, but the lower number of snaps, the lesser a chance there is for him to count into the formula. The guy that knows this better than anybody, Nick Corte is the guy's name. He's got the whole compensatory formula figured out. And what he said after the game is because Haag didn't play, he now is not likely to count against the formula for Pittsburgh, which will allow them to get a fifth-round pick.
Well, what if he plays next week?
Might factor into it. I don't know.
That's so
But
weird.
What he's saying right now is because of him not playing,
okay,
it is aiming in
so
the direction
is,
of
a moving of target is what you're saying.
Possibly, yes.
Got it. Understood.
But after week one, it no longer wipes out the signing of Mike Hilton, which would then give Pittsburgh a fifth-round compensatory pick.
Solid.
Which is super important because of all the ones they traded away.
Very true.
Because as of right now, I don't think they have a fourth, fifth, or sixth in next year's draft. So you really want to see them recuperate some. Yeah. And they were projected, I think, to get a third, a fifth, and a sixth,
Listen,
I think.
I would have taken a seventh for Jalen, okay?
I would have loved that, but...
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, now time to move on to the game.
The game! Let's talk about the game, man. Opening kickoff.
Opening kickoff
What a disaster.
Horrendous.
And you have to wonder if that was the side of the field that either Spillane would have possibly been on or Mondo, who had been playing on the starting kick coverage unit all preseason long. So you might have had some guys out of position, but one thing that has to be noted on this is the effort by Ulysses Gilbert III and also by Cameron Sutton and Chris Boswell.
Yep.
James Pierre, too, because he was in the area also. Yeah. But Boswell and Cam Sutton stayed in front of him. Made
they
him
did
cut
the whole.
Back.
They did the whole Ben the run whole, in the
yes,
Colts game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The shoe.
You don't have to make the
shoelace tackle.
Yeah. You don't necessarily have to make the tackle. You got to hold them up long enough for somebody else
to
get there.
Yep.
And UG3 never gave up.
Yep.
And he ran him down after that long return. And again, this is a 230-pound linebacker running down a very fast return, man.
Yeah.
And not that it's like one for one in a real foot chase.
Yeah.
But he never gave up on the play. And this was at the very first play of the game, a nice play by UG3.
Very nice play. And we'll see more of that later in the game. Well, we will. It was a return of 75 yards. The most beautiful thing about this to me was that our defense, I think, came out and for the first time in a long time,
yeah,
they came out and they said, I don't care that you just returned the ball 75 yards. No. I'm still playing defense.
They gave no craps.
No. They wound up only gaining 5 total yards.
Yeah.
And they had to kick a field goal.
Yeah. It was a 1-2-3 and kick a field goal, man. I loved seeing that 4th and 5.
I will take that.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Beautiful. So I had to get that out off of my chest before we got into player by player.
Hey, that is fair enough.
Yeah, that was the first thing that jumped out at me. Even though it was a play you don't want to see, I think they corrected it the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is going to be some of those guys not on the field that were expected to be on that play.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then before we go into player by player breakdown, it was a dogfight from the beginning.
Oh, absolutely.
I did not expect to see like 7 punts in a row. I believe that's what the actual number was. Pittsburgh punted, Buffalo punted, Pittsburgh. Like it was, I think it was 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Punts in a row before we got to a turnover, which we'll talk about that later. But again, I was impressed with Pittsburgh's efforts at the beginning. And not getting discouraged, and I feel like they never went away from any kind of game plan that they had, which was encouraging, because the game plan was not dink and dunks and everything else, running it on first down. Like they did different things, and I liked to see it.
Yeah, and we got to see a little bit of that jet sweep motion going on, and some success with that.
Yeah,
and I think the success with the jet sweep is going to lead to more success running, too. Because people will have to stay home on the edges, and that'll open up more lanes on the inside.
100%.
So encouraging to see some of those schemes from Matt Canada really kind of open things up a little as the game went on.
100%. All right, Big Ben, always start at the quarterback.
Yeah, always start with the quarterback, and the quarterback doesn't always start good in the beginning of the game. But if he finishes strong, that's what's important, man. And I just feel like a lot of things were just a little bit off. You know, I didn't think that Ben was missing people by a wide margin.
Nope.
But especially his chemistry with Najee Harris, anytime he was trying to dump it off to him, it just seemed like they just missed by a couple of feet most of the time. So not a ton. And some of that is just Ben looking for Najee to turn his head around a little quicker on the one play than he did.
Yep.
And some of it is maybe Ben being used to a running back getting a little further downfield as he's trickling away. There's a ton of different
things that could have been. I mean, even it literally could have even been the fact that I don't think Ben I don't want to make this seem like an attack on Ben.
No, I just don't think Ben
practiced enough in the offseason with Najee specifically to get that timing down.
Exactly.
And that will come.
And that's the kind of thing that you're only going to get that within a game. Because when you're going through it in practice, nobody's hitting either one of you.
Nope. It's a lot different in game.
And now you're having to throw over top of people, around people, and trying to get it out before you get hit. You're a little more hurried.
Yeah.
And that's when things aren't as easy. And I really think that's going to come a lot more together. I bet you this upcoming game.
And we already saw it in the Lions preseason game.
Yeah.
We saw what Najee and Ben can do when they link up. It's just a matter of getting that chemistry down.
Yeah, I think we'll see probably at least 3 or 4 catches from Najee in the second week, and things starting to look a little bit more smooth there. I loved how in the second half of the game, they really just kind of put a little more effort and a little more emphasis on going down the field.
Yeah.
You had a 19-yard completion to Eric Ebron, a 25-yard completion to Freiermuth.
And he caught the ball. Ebron caught the ball.
Yeah, he had one on the sideline over to Chase Claypool with an amazing catch over a defender.
Mm-hmm.
He started going down the field bit more. Yeah.
That was over Trey.
Yeah, that's no slouch.
Listen, people are disrespecting Ben too much. And when I say disrespecting, I only mean because they're not praising him enough for his play.
Yeah, it's a decent game from Ben. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he had an amazing game, but did he turn the ball over? No, he didn't.
Mm-mm. And that's what everyone thought he was going to do this game.
Yeah, they thought he was going to be awful. They thought his arm was going to be weak. He wasn't going to be able to move. I'll tell you what, on his one scramble, he didn't look too bad.
No. And he got down. That should have been a flag.
Oh, I was so mad. I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot about it till right now. That idiot jumped on him when he slid feet first, and he jumped on him from behind.
From behind, and it was after he started sliding that the guy made.
Long after.
Should have been a flag. Should have been a flag.
Should have been 15 yards, and we should be talking about the fine that guy is getting today for the cheap shot. Because
that they're
you could
not
going to
give him? Yeah.
Yeah, you could tell Ben got up from that and kind of like cringed a little bit.
Because it was awkward.
Because he bent his knee a little.
Yeah.
Like, that's how that happens. Last year, Ben was getting around fine until somebody took a shot and tackled him below his knees, and he hurt two knees on the same play, and then they never were really the same the rest of the season. You know, that's they got to protect guys from that kind of hit.
Yep.
That's the thing. I'm not looking for quarterbacks to be protected and never be allowed to be hit, but when they slide feet first and somebody jumps on them from behind, where it's clearly not a, I can't avoid this guy, it's just a, I want to hit him.
Yep.
When you let them hit him, that's how quarterbacks get injured, and then that cheapens your game.
Yep.
Then you get people that don't want to watch because you got backup quarterbacks playing instead of starters.
Although I can't say I ever didn't watch a Steelers game because Mason or Duck were in.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. I didn't, but we're a little different breed, brother.
Fair enough. But again, Ben played very well, and when it mattered at the end of the game, and here's the thing. Here's what I said, and we'll slowly start moving on quicker to other positions.
And tell me about your opinions, too, on that pass to Deontay Johnson for a touchdown.
That was the best pass I've seen. Like, that was Santonio Holmes in the back of the end zone cut type pass. Granted, it wasn't over three guys like that pass in the Super Bowl was. It was perfectly placed.
It was like a beautiful lasagna, man. It was perfect.
You got to say that a little more Italian.
A little more
Italian. It was like a beautiful lasagna. A
perfectly seasoned steak. It was just beautiful.
Okay, anyways. Now I'm hungry. gosh darn it, James. But, again, Ben didn't. And half the time, that's what you, like, expect out of people is, like, oh, he's going to have one mistake. We got to make sure we prepare for that. Ben didn't make a single mistake, in my opinion.
Not a significant one. Nothing that was... Yeah, that's my thing, is that any mistake he made was an incomplete pass.
Yep.
There were no fumbles, there were no interceptions, and that's the big thing, is don't turn the ball over. Don't hurt the team when you do make a mistake.
Yep.
If it's just off by a little bit and it's incomplete, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. And I think we'll see Ben get more, like, push the limit with that as the season goes on, because we always do.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And you'll have to fit it into tighter holes and this and that and everything else. But again, Ben played very well, and when it mattered, Ben got us that late touchdown.
Dang right he did, man. Drove him down the field, got another field goal to put the game away by 10.
Yep. Yeah, we shut. No, I'm not even talking about it.
And then you know what? He exercised that knee at the end. Like, I love to see. Like we talked about for the first 11 weeks last year. Let's go on to the running backs.
Only one running back got a carry in the... I mean, Ben ran four times for 5 yards.
And
Chase Claypool
three of those
ran
are
once.
Kneeled down, so...
Yeah. Chase Claypool ran once for the 25 on that end around. Was a great end around. I felt like... Here's the thing. I hate when they use the end around once or twice in a game, and both times they hand it off. They use the end around in that motion... even in normal passing plays, and it benefited that run. So that's what I have to say about that. Najee Harris, again, 16 carries for 45 yards. Not his best game, but again, I think we're going to slowly see that average increase as the season goes on. One, Najee's going to be more comfortable in the system. Two, we're going to figure out more ways to create holes. And three, the offensive line is going to start gelling together once you get to week 5, week 6, week 7. And right now, they're in a funk.
They're figuring out personnel, too. You're starting to figure out who's going to benefit you the most and what positions. I'll tell you what, if I'm Najee Harris, I'm looking for Pat Freiermuth and I'm running behind him.
Yeah, talk about it.
We saw a few times in this game where Pat made some real nice blocks.
Talk about the one.
The most significant one, if you have not seen this, go to our Twitter page. Steelers BT Lake, I believe, is our Twitter account.
Yep.
And I retweeted this earlier. Steelers Depot found us on the All-22 from the game, but it's on the reverse to Chase Claypool, and it's more like a jet sweep, really, than a reverse, I guess. But anyway, Chase Claypool goes, and in this, Pat Freiermuth is going in motion. At the snap, he comes back to the same direction he came from, and it comes out as the lead blocker. He's one-on-one with Trey White, the all-pro corner for the Bills. Hits him probably at about the hash marks, drives him all the way to the sideline, and then continues. If there was a bench there, you would have put him over the bench.
He would have put him over the bench.
Over the bench.
He put him through another coach.
Put him through a Bills coach and just kept on going. It was like 6 yards into the sideline, and he's still blocking him. It was beautiful.
I really hope that there's some player that's mic'd up that saw that, and we get to see it later. Because it was... listen, I hope Trey's mic'd up for that.
Yeah,
I know they wouldn't mic up Pat. He's not...
No, he's not... Know. Yeah, he's not significant enough yet.
It'll come.
He will be.
Yeah. But again, Najee, 16 for 45.
Took every snap, every offensive snap.
Every offensive snap. Didn't leave once.
That's incredible.
It's incredible. It's good. Let's tone it back a little bit.
I'm just impressed with the conditioning that he wasn't tapping out.
I understand that aspect, but I do not want to... I understand that he is a workhorse. I understand that he is built that way.
Yeah.
He's literally built different.
Absolutely.
But I don't want to break our rookie running back in his rookie year.
I understand your concern there, and I have a feeling that maybe the original game plan was a lot more Anthony McFarland in there, and being that Anthony McFarland is out and the other two running backs that are backups aren't the same kind of prototype. They're the bigger guys that are similar to Najee.
Yep.
It kind of screws some of that planning up.
Fair enough.
Because you wanted to use probably a second running back that's the quick guy that can do some counters and some tosses and that kind of stuff and spread the offense out a little bit more. And you maybe have a little bit of decent speed with Kalen Ballage, but it's not really there with Benny Snell. So
fair enough. Fair enough and understandable. On to wide receivers. So out of here's the math I want to tell you, okay? 18 completions.
Yeah.
Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven. 8 different players caught the ball.
That's great.
That's on 18 passes, that's really, or on 18 completions, excuse me.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's good spreading the ball around.
And you had 3 guys that had 3 catches or more, and then the other 5 had all of at least one, and then James Washington had 2. Again, I think we saw a great game out of Juju. We saw some nasty out of Juju.
Dude, I love how he truck sticks people.
He does, and it's impressive.
You can't just put a regular corner on him because he'll run him over, and it's so entertaining.
And so will Chase. Granted, Chase didn't get as many options or chances to do that.
But Chase will do it.
Chase will do it, absolutely.
And then Deontay will juke up 3 or 4 guys before you get him to the ground.
Yeah, if you haven't seen our TikTok, go look it up.
Whoop! Whoop!
Hit him with the boomer.
For sure, man. Like, it's a fun combination of these guys. I'm looking forward to them getting more opportunities in the future. And very much so looking forward to the Steelers getting the tight end room a little bit more involved as well. They didn't have any catches in the first half. They got them involved in the second half and just coincidentally were able to move the ball a bit more. And I think that's because that really opens up the middle of the field.
Yep.
It forces the safeties to respect that more. And then that opens up the sidelines, and that's going to in turn open up the running game.
Yeah.
When you're worried about that tight end that's 15, 20 yards downfield, you're probably going to have a linebacker and a safety on him, and that really helps out your running back.
Yeah, and we talked about the Deontay Johnson touchdown in the aspect of Ben, the throw. I want to talk about the catch, but before I get that, the important stat line that I want to point out. Eric Ebron, 2 targets, 1 catch. Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah.
1 target.
1 catch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's the way that works.
100%.
Yeah. And then the next,
I'm going to keep track of this all year long.
The next important stat is Zach Gentry. 1 catch, -2 yards.
There you go. Whatever.
But you know what? He caught it.
And it was 1 target. That's
it
all that matters.
It was a bad...
Yeah, it was
bad. It's a bad idea.
It was like a super delayed tight end screen that did not work.
And it was all the way to the sideline. When you run a tight end screen that does work,
it's usually in the middle of the field.
Yeah, usually in the middle of the field is where it's successful, and this was not, unfortunately. I don't remember who the wide receivers were trying to block in front of him, to be honest with you, but Mr. Gentry is not the kind of guy that's going to be making people miss. He's more the run them over type.
Yeah, a little bit.
So I don't know that the screenplay is necessarily going to be his forte, but at least people have to respect that the ball could be thrown his way after that game.
True, 100%.
He will catch it.
He will.
He will catch it.
Even if it's for -2 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Deontay Johnson.
Yes.
Phenomenal ability and awareness to keep his eyes on the ball.
Yeah.
And maintain focus to get, he caught the ball, kind of dropped it in midair, reassessed his situation in a matter of 0.05 seconds, caught the ball, feet in bounds, great.
Toe drag swag.
Deontay toe tap.
Yeah,
Not Tony Toe Tap. Deontay Toe Tap.
We moved on from Tony.
We did.
Tom can have Tony.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Is what it is. But yeah, Deontay Johnson did a phenomenal job. Again, most targeted receiver, 10 targets, only 5 catches. That's not all his fault. Ben overthrew him a couple times here and there, whatever. But that touchdown catch was phenomenal. Yeah. Offensive line.
Offensive line. So we saw a little bit of a mixed bag from here. At one point in time, Kendrick Green was actually pulled out of the game for 3 snaps. And I don't know if it was just because he was being like a little overzealous. The play before he got pulled out, he actually jumped over top of a pile and like jumped on the ground. And I don't know if they were worried about him getting a 15-yard penalty or what. But he was only out for 3 plays and then he came right back in. I felt like he represented himself fairly well and he did show excellent athleticism getting out in front of Chase Claypool on that long end around run. Dan Moore Jr., I felt, did fairly well.
Yeah.
Not significantly amazing, not awful as well, right about in the middle, which honestly for a 4th-round pick starting at left tackle is a good thing.
Oh, it's a phenomenal
thing. If you hold your own and you're not even somebody that they're planning on starting and you're playing at left tackle, the most difficult offensive line position,
yep.
That's really good.
And our offensive line against a pretty good defense.
Yeah. They held up fairly well.
2 sacks. Okay. Allowed 2 sacks.
Yeah, and honestly, it seemed like Chooks was the one that was getting beat the most.
Yeah.
And he's the most experienced on the Steelers. But Trey Turner, better than advertised, I thought.
Way better than advertised.
A lot of people talking about him not having the movement skills. When he did pull, he was effective with it, and he looked mobile. Dotson also, I thought, had a pretty good game, man. I saw at least one play where he didn't have somebody in front of him. He went out and found Chooks' guy and buried him for him and then went on to the next one, you know?
That's the nasty.
That's it. That's what we want to see. That's what we want to see. You don't have anybody? Go find work.
Yep.
That's what the offensive line coaches will tell you. Go find work.
100%.
Yep.
D-line. D-line.
Let's start with the big boys, the 300-pounders first.
So I'm gonna talk more. Yeah, let's do it. That's fine. That's fine. I was going to do something a little different, but that's fine. Cameron Hayward had himself a game.
Jeez, what an animal.
He wound up being, I think, 2nd in the entire league in, you know, pressures applied on a quarterback. I think he was 2nd
like
in the league.
Yeah, like 12, right?
Yep.
Holy cow, man. 12 pressures?
Yeah, that's a lot for a man by the name of Cameron, who we talked about earlier, draft him. His name's Cameron.
That's it, man. Cam. And this is where I'm going with this, obviously. Cam Hayward's been an absolute animal for Pittsburgh. What a game, man. 4 tackles in total, a sack, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery on somebody else's sack, 2 passes batted down at the line. He was just everywhere, absolutely everywhere. And you really almost can't ask for more out of a defensive lineman than that.
Not at all.
Just very impressive. He sets the bar, and that's what everyone else strives for in Pittsburgh is – this is what Cam's doing, so here's what I'm going to try to emulate myself.
Yep, had the sack, tackle for loss, 2 balls batted down, forced fumble. He was doing everything.
Yeah, his running mate, Tyson Alualu, I didn't think Tyson had a bad game, got in on 5 tackles total, combined with assists and solo tackles.
Well, here's the thing. Tyson is going to get his this year, and here's why. Everyone's going to have to guard everyone else.
Yeah.
At some point.
And realistically, he's just not a pass rusher. He never has been. He would probably get 3 to 5 on the year, just like he has been getting. But it's just not his forte, kind of like Wormley, you know? I didn't feel like Wormley looked bad in this game, but he's not jumping out at you the stat line with just 1 assist. You know, Bugs came off the bench, again, looked the part. I saw him running down the field after somebody went a running back and busted one off.
Yep.
And he just never gave up on the play. And a lot of that is the coaching and the example set at the front. Carlos Davis was in on the 2nd drive, 2nd defensive drive. He was your first sub in,
yeah,
which I thought was impressive. I saw 1 nice tackle out of him in the middle. Otherwise, I felt like his game was just kind of so-so. Didn't really splash. Didn't see him really getting after the quarterback. But it's not really something that's been his specialty. That's the thing right now is that Pittsburgh needs more pass rush from a 2nd defensive interior lineman. You got those 5 guys right now. If you can't get it out of one of the other guys, you have to start thinking about either dressing Loudermilk on Sundays, or you have to think about maybe promoting Mondo to try to get some pass rush in those guys.
For sure. And I'd be totally fine with that. Mondo getting in there would be phenomenal because he does, as you say, apply a little bit more pressure than maybe some of the guys backing him or on the team right now.
Yeah.
As backups do. And it is what it is. Here's the thing. I think Pittsburgh obviously knows what they have in Cam Hayward, obviously knows what they have in Tyson Alualu. Yep. They understand one's a pass rusher, one is less. They also understand that TJ Watt on the outside is going to get a massive amount of pressure on the quarterback, whether he's double teamed or not.
Yes.
And that's why I think they're doing such a heavy rotation with Alex Highsmith and Melvin Ingram on the other side, because I think it matters so little of who is on that opposite side. And I'm realizing that.
It's kind
of
a thing of beauty, isn't it?
Listen, Bud Dupree for the Titans had one tackle this week. Yeah. Just saying. I don't think it matters who's opposite of TJ. It's the fact that they're opposite of TJ. They're going to be able to apply pressure. Now, obviously, I think Alex Highsmith and Melvin Ingram are fairly good, but I think that triple head is better than most people expected.
Yeah, absolutely. And you saw a heavy rotation even early on. Again, I think it was the second drive we saw Melvin Ingram come in, and it was just a constant rotation between the three of those guys. Melvin can play both sides of the field. TJ and Alex stayed on their sides, and Melvin just kind of went back and forth. And he had eight pressures. TJ had eight, Melvin had eight, and Cam had 12, which was top five in the entire NFL. We had three dudes in the top five.
It's going to be a fun year for defense.
And we don't even have Tua back.
Stay healthy.
We don't even have Tua back.
And we don't know when we're getting Tua back.
You never know. Yeah. It sounds like from what he went through, there's a little bit more that's been getting leaked out more recently.
Yeah.
Dr. Melody Freelander, who works for Steelers Depot, but she's also an arthroscopic surgeon. So she like really specializes in that stuff. She's been putting the clues together. And her guess at this point in time is it's a meniscus. And it was already surgically repaired. They talked about
that's
there
a
being
plus.
A procedure. Yeah, they talked about there being a procedure already. So he's already on the mend from it. And a meniscus is not something that keeps you out for 2 months, typically.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't be surprised if we see him back after that third or fourth week. If not, probably shortly thereafter, I would think. And that's assuming that it is just a meniscus.
Yeah. So we talked about Cameron Hayward having the forced fumble. We TJ Watt obviously had a sack fumble, which was phenomenal. Run down on Josh Allen. Moving on to middle linebackers.
I ain't done with these outside
linebackers.
Okay,
let's go on.
TJ had two sacks, man. Let's give this
respect. Bravo.
TJ Watt had himself a monster.
We expected five like Chandler Jones.
Yeah,
that's beside the point.
And realistically, he probably could have had five, but he kept on getting held.
That's true. I think on the one drive they had like three or four holding calls.
Yeah.
And they were holding more than that.
And it was really, it was like the second or third drive before they started calling it.
Yeah.
Because I saw at least two times, maybe three, that Alex Highsmith got tackled from behind by that left tackle. And honestly, I'm a little bit less impressed with that Bills offensive line now than I thought I was beforehand.
Yeah.
Because they held like crazy.
The one drive, it was every play.
Yeah.
I was talking to my buddy as we were watching the game. I could not get over the fact that every play was a hold.
I had Browns fans texting me talking about how many times the Steelers are getting held. In most
that's only because we weren't playing them. Otherwise, they'd be like, oh, it's clean.
Yeah. Yeah, like they're trying to claim with the Ronnie Harrison hit.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Not clean.
I watched it. He was stomping a man in the balls.
Stomping him. Maybe not necessarily. We couldn't see that far.
It was
down.
In the groin area.
It was on whatever. He was stomping him, and the coach said no.
Yeah.
Totally fine. Justifiable.
And then he pushed him in the face. It's not a push if you hit a guy in the face.
He slapped him in the face with a little...
Yeah,
effort.
A little emphasis.
Yeah, that's the word. There you go.
Yeah, like a martial arts guy trying to break somebody's nose.
Are you done with outside linebackers?
Yeah, no, I'm done.
Okay, inside linebackers. Devin Bush impressed me as far as his...
Everywhere, man.
Yeah, he's all around. He's like the calmer version... This is my definition that I just came up with. He is the calmer version of Troy Polamalu. All
right.
He's not making as many big plays as we expected him to, but maybe he's...
It's one game.
Well, yes, I understand that. True. Shh. Listen.
Hush, James.
He did have one forced fumble, which was great. He did have a forced fumble. It was. I think it went like right out of bounds or something. But it was a great, great punch by him to get the ball. So Devin Bush played well. The one thing I want to say is, I was slightly disappointed with Joe Schobert.
I'm 100% with you.
I'm expecting more.
I was wondering if we were going to disagree on this because I was definitely expecting more out of Joe Schobert. And to me, he just kind of blended in. That was the kind of performance I would have expected from Robert Spillane or Marcus Allen or any of those guys. Yeah. I feel like there was no splash there. No plays behind the line of scrimmage. No passes defensed.
Nope.
No fumbles forced. And I'm hoping that is just a
still not comfortable with the system thing.
Yeah. And maybe we're looking into it too much. And maybe him not being as significant
was because of an impact is
because, yeah, maybe people just didn't target him because he was doing his job well.
Yeah.
I don't know. But he wasn't making splash plays. And that did stick out. Only two solo tackles in the game with, I think, four assists.
Yeah. And I think it stuck out mostly because of all the other people we saw getting involved.
Yeah.
And not to move on quickly, but are you done? I mean, I'm done with middle linebackers.
I am not.
Oh, you want to talk about UG3 some
more? I'm definitely talking
about UG3 more.
But do we want to go there on special
teams? Yeah, let's go there on special
teams. His contributions were all on special teams. But middle linebacker for sure.
Yeah. So done with middle linebackers. I want to move on to the cornerback room.
Corners, man, it's going to be tough because some of them are corners and safeties apparently right now.
Cam Sutton, Trey Norwood, I'm convinced. Who else do we need? Trey Norwood came in and immediately played in the nickel, mm-hmm. in the slot, and played it well.
Yep.
And then Cam Sutton, I think, showed that he's had the potential and ability to be a number two corner, if not a number one corner.
Yeah, we'll see how far he can go. Two passes defensed in a game, that's really good for a corner, man.
And they were good passes.
Clutch defense. Ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only one that was more clutch was James Pierre.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Which, again, is corner. Promising and, yeah. again, is corner.
Yeah.
And it was at the end of the game. And I thought Pierre looked like he belonged. I didn't see him getting torched. There was one play that made me nervous about Trey Norwood where he lost track of his receiver and the receiver had him beat going into the end zone and was just overthrown.
Yeah.
So it was an incomplete pass. But only because Josh Allen missed him. But other than that, I thought Trey had a good game. And he even played some safety because there were times that Minka was brought up to play nickel corner.
Which
and
was
then they
phenomenal.
Moved Trey back.
Because that's going to confuse. You know how fast you can audible out of that and just swap them? And it's going to confuse people because mm-hmm. you're going to think you have an opening or a weakness somewhere. And turns out it's not.
Yeah.
Oh.
So and then their teams are going to target Trey Norwood because yep. he's a seventh-round pick.
Yep.
And then if you're moving him around like that, you don't know where you're targeting him at. It's tough to do a play call specifically targeting that one man.
And let's not even – I know we're still on Trey Norwood. Let's not even forget the veteran.
Yeah.
Joe Hayden played
had a good
well.
Game. Yeah.
He had a forced fumble as well.
Yeah. It's because he lifts weights.
If you haven't seen that clip, you need to go look it up. He says, "I lift," and he twitches his head real hard.
It's really funny.
It's from the Broncos game last year. If you look up Joe Hayden, mic'd up Broncos, can't miss it.
Can't miss it. But I thought overall a pretty decent performance by the cornerback room.
Decent.
I loved.
I only say that way. Decent, yeah. like I'm.
Well, and I'm only saying because decent because you didn't get any turnovers.
Well, you didn't get any turnovers, but like. After last year and just how we've been with our corners and mm-hmm. the question marks that have been surrounding the cornerback room all year and then the loss of frickin' Antoine Brooks Jr., who we thought was going to play the nickel.
And Steven Nelson saying, hey, I just don't want to play.
The massive amount of questions. Yeah. These guys had a phenomenal game, in my opinion.
And the only reason I'm not going that far with it is because they were assisted by a decent number of Buffalo Bill drops. So, and if those they catch those, then it doesn't look as good of a performance.
That's fair.
So, I'm very happy to see two passes defensed by Cam Sutton. I'm really happy to see Pierre getting one on a fourth down near the end of the game. I'm ecstatic to see Cam Sutton sniffing out a fake quarterback dive on fourth and one and tackling a running back 3-4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Like, there are a lot of really promising things from this cornerback room.
Yep.
But I'm not ready to say it was an amazing performance. I'm going to say that Cam Sutton had a very good performance.
Fair enough.
Very good. Good enough for me to say that if somebody's first name is Cameron, let's just draft them at this point because they fit so well on this team, man.
I mean,
Arthur Mollett got some play time. I loved the rotation. They really just kept them on edge. Because you didn't know if you were going to have Cam Sutton in the slot Arthur Mollett in the slot, Trey Norwood in the slot, Minka Fitzpatrick in the slot. It just kept on changing all game long.
It did. You're
and
not wrong.
It really kept the offense off guard, which was great in my book.
Yeah.
Safety play, we really only saw three safeties play on defense.
True.
That would be your starters and Trey Norwood, as we've been talking about. No splash plays out of Terrell Edmonds this game.
No, but I didn't see him getting like burnt or
nope.
There was one good tackle that Terrell Edmonds had, and I don't remember where or what it was.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing it. I'm like, okay, thank you, Terrell.
Yeah.
Like, good.
He's really turned into a very solid tackler. But I did think that this was a nice performance out of Minka in previous seasons. We've talked about how sometimes he'll just throw a shoulder in there to tackle somebody. Yep. I didn't see that in this game.
Nope.
That was really nice.
Thank you.
That was real nice.
Bravo.
Special teams.
Special teams. Boswell, 3 for 3 on field goals, 2 for 2 on extra points.
Bos for president. That's our boy. Perfect on the day.
Perfect. That's all we need to know. I'm not even going to talk about it more than that. Boswell played well.
Presley,
PH3.
Up and down.
Yeah.
He had a bad punt. He had an okay punt. He had a couple good punts.
I think it shows when you see that his long was 51.
Yeah.
And that his average was 41.
Yeah, because he had one that was only like 30 yards.
Yeah, and it's not like he was close to the end zone and got it out inside the 20. Were back on our end zone and bad.
Yeah, he just shanked it by accident. That's going to happen. I think he had a little bit of first game jitters going on there. I expect that to get ironed out.
Listen, I'd take a 30-yard punt if we were punting from the 31.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a good punt.
If we're punting from the 31, I'm pissed because Boz for president, man. He'll bang that right through.
100%.
That, honestly.
We had no kick returns. None.
Yeah. Because they kept on kicking it out of the end zone.
Well, yeah. They're all in the end zone or chosen not to return. Whatever. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then the one punt return for 5 yards from Ray. That was it.
Yeah. But very significantly, as we talked at the beginning of the game, a long punt return was allowed by the special teams on the opening kickoff. And they actually talked to themselves within the game at halftime and said, we owe this team. We need to make a play to make up for it. And they did.
Big time.
Miles Killebrew, the backup safety, blocked the punt. UG3 scooped and scored on the play. And that's why I want to talk about UG3 again, because if you were going to give a special teams player the game, it's probably going to UG3, sharing it with Killebrew.
But it's only because the play at the beginning of the game, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think if that play at the beginning of the game doesn't happen,
then you're not
doing it. It's Killebrew.
It's Killebrew
because
Killebrew
of the block.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But and this makes things so much more difficult for the Steelers deciding in the future, because we all thought Carl Joseph was going to get called up.
I wondered
up
if you were going to go here.
Yeah, we all thought he was going to get called up. And now you got Trey Norwood playing every position on defense but defensive line, it seemed like.
Yep.
And you got Killebrew blocking punts. You can't take either one of those guys off of the 53 right now.
Nope.
You just can't.
You can't justify. Who's coming off?
Arthur Mollett.
Just sit, Ben.
No, it's Mollett, man.
It's got to be.
If it happens,
sadly,
it's Mollett.
Sadly,
Mollett's
sadly.
And I don't think Mollett had, like, a crazy game anyway.
Well, no, I don't think he had an opportunity.
He just comes out of
the
rotation is all.
Yeah, which you can get out of Carl Joseph.
Yeah, you're getting it out of everybody else already anyway. It's just one less person doing it.
Yeah. Well, here's the question. And also, I think here's the priority. I think if you bring Carl Joseph up to the 53, he has to have a role. I will not bring him up to be a backup safety.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, because otherwise you can just protect him on the practice squad every week.
So until they figure out what they want to do with him, if it's hey, let's get into rotation, get Terrell Edmonds off the field every once in a while, cool, fine. But I don't think you can bring him up just to have him be the backup.
That's fair.
So I'm really going to be curious to see what they do, because if they bring him up, I'm hoping that they're going to do something with him. Because like you said, you can't take Trey Norwood off.
Nope.
And you can't take Miles Killebrew right now.
Yeah, so it's got to
come from
a
different position.
Special teams
coach will not let you.
Yeah, it's not happening.
won't happen. Nope.
The guy that blocked the punt week 1 and helped you win the game? No, not happening. Mm-hmm. He's not allowed to be taken off. Sorry.
If you take him off, he's not clearing anything. Someone's picking him up.
Yeah, somebody probably would off of that, yeah.
So I'm excited. Again, I think this was a great game for Pittsburgh. Final score of the game was 23-16. Pittsburgh was down 10-0 at the beginning of the game, and then they slowly came back. You know, we made it 3-10, 6-10. Didn't get discouraged by those, and then the Bills went for it on fourth down, and I think that was the turning point of the game.
Yeah.
You made that big stop to kind of end the third quarter, and then in the fourth quarter, You had four plays, touchdown to Deontay Johnson, and then you got the blocked punt that led to a touchdown the next drive for the Buffalo. We allowed Buffalo to get a field goal, and then boom.
Then, yeah.
End of the game. Phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal.
And the end of the game with Pittsburgh with possession, kneeling the ball, just like you want to see. So, and even though it might not be a super significant part in most people's eyes, you do have to shout out Juju for recovering that onside kick.
Yeah.
He had like four people barreling down on him, and he came running up like a man possessed, fielded it cleanly. I always get nervous because it seems like Pittsburgh does not successfully receive those onside kicks a lot of times, and that was not an issue in this game. So,
nope,
real nice to see.
Time to look ahead to next week real quick. We have the, I almost said Oakland, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Las Vegas.
Who on Monday night just defeated the Baltimore Ravens.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. And it was a good comeback for them. They forced it into overtime and then forced a turnover in overtime, won the game. I want it to be known right now that everyone thought out of all the things I've seen, AFC North predictions,
yep,
it was Browns, Ravens, Steelers, Bengals.
Or it was Ravens-Browns.
True.
Some people had Ravens-Browns, but nobody had Pittsburgh at the top.
Ravens-Browns,
yeah,
bottom two.
Yeah.
Bengals-Steelers, top two, because they both won their games and the Browns and Ravens didn't.
Yeah,
and anyone that says, well, you guys played the Bills, they played the Chiefs, I don't care. That's two AF. I understand that the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl. That's still two playoff teams from last year. Shut up. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs and the Bills, in most people's opinions, were the very clear-cut two best teams in the AFC this year.
Yep.
So for Pittsburgh to take care of business and
on the road?
Yeah, on the road. And unfortunately for Cleveland, they were not able to do so. And they were really in command of that game for most of the game, too.
Yep.
So it really just kind of fell apart and crumbled under the pressure at the end of the game.
What a Cleveland thing. Anyways. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about this upcoming week's opponent, the Las Vegas
Raiders. Yeah, and it's not going to be long.
Raiders.
Derek Carr, quarterback, obviously a threat. We did see Marcus Mariota even get involved.
Yeah.
On a nice little option scramble play that he actually got a lot of yards on.
Yeah, I mean, he's an athletic guy. Derek Carr had himself one heck of a game, though,
man. He did.
Didn't he throw for like 400 yards?
I think it was pretty close.
Yeah, it was... It was pretty good, which kind of gives you some insight on maybe the Ravens secondary a little bit. They did lose a starting corner for the year, so that's helpful. But the wide receiver weapons are going to be something that really helps them out there. Henry Ruggs III, one heck of a speedy dude, man. I want to say he was like a 4.240 kind of guy.
He's fast.
That's
all you need to know. He's fast.
You're going to have to double team him. You're going to have a corner on him and always have a safety cheated to his side. Zay Jones, his backup, also a very explosive receiver, Hunter Renfrow, and a real nice third down kind of slot dude.
Yep.
There's some definite weapons at the wide receiver position, but I would say none of these guys are your real game breakers like what you had to deal with Diggs.
No.
But Diggs was definitely a bigger challenge.
They're game breakers at the tight end position with Darren Waller.
Yeah, and he's a monster.
He's an absolute monster. Yeah. Ravens had him on the practice squad.
Idiots.
Didn't see the talent there. Raiders did. Took him. And now he's probably their leading receiver.
Now he's an all-pro.
Darren Waller is definitely the biggest threat we have to go against, and I'm really curious to see how we handle that. Are you going to bring a safety down on him, or are you going to prioritize him? I think that Darren Waller has the potential to have a big game against us if we don't prepare thoroughly for him.
Yeah, so this is going to be a real important game for Terrell Edmonds because he oftentimes matches up against the tight ends. If he has a big game against Waller, it's really going to help his stock for what he can command in free agency this upcoming season,
or
for sure.
Retained by Steelers, whatever.
Yeah, however that goes. Also, I'm interested to see how things go with Foster Moreau, their number two tight end. He was a guy out of LSU last year who there was a lot of thought that Pittsburgh might have some interest in him. Seemed like a tight end that would fit their scheme. So I want to see just how he plays. Just kind of to see the evaluation process a little bit further along.
Yeah.
Their offensive line's got some guys that are going to be some familiar names to you. Number one, the right tackle, Alex Leatherwood. A lot of people wanted the Pittsburgh Steelers to draft him.
He wasn't available when we were on the clock, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Colton Miller, their left tackle, pretty good left tackle. Richie Incognito. I didn't know he was still in the NFL.
Yep. He didn't play last game, though.
No?
No, he didn't play. He was injured. Man. He's very strong.
Strong AF.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see if he comes in and plays. Andre James, center that I honestly haven't heard of. Denzel Good, same thing at right guard. But overall, that offensive line is one of the top tiers kind of in the NFL. The running back room is very, very interesting.
There's some talent, man.
It's three previous starters.
Yeah.
Obviously, one current with Josh Jacobs. Kenyon Drake was a starter for when he was in Miami.
Yeah, and Peyton Barber, too.
Peyton Barber was a starter before as well.
Yeah.
So the fullback's pretty good with Alec Ingold, but I'm really curious to see what they do because Kenyon Drake got a lot of play in Monday night's game.
Yeah, and Jacobs has had a good career thus far. He's very a young good. Player and really been putting up some good games thus far. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for him. Defensive ends for the Raiders really made some noise against the Ravens.
Yeah.
Both Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue kind of wore those offensive tackles out. And Carl Nassib, the backup defensive end, had a sack and forced fumble in the game.
Yep.
So, and then Cleveland Farrell, their other backup defensive end, is a former first-round pick. Very high first-round pick, number 5 or 6 overall, too.
The defensive line is, I think this is a better overall defensive line, even with the loss of Gerald McCoy to a ACL tear, I believe, if it was.
Yeah, they're calling it an ACL.
I believe this is the most, out of Buffalo, I think this is a deeper defensive line, in my opinion, and I think that it'll be very curious, especially on the edges. It'll be very curious to see how Pittsburgh handles that. They also...
Isn't Hankins that guy out of Ohio State we were looking at this year?
I
want to say he's the rookie defensive lineman out of Ohio State.
He is not. He's a 9-year pro.
Oh, okay. But he is Ohio State.
Yeah. You were right with the...
I had the wrong last name.
That's okay.
That's all right.
But moving on and looking at the rest of the players on the defense, they signed KJ Wright in the offseason. He obviously used
he
to play...
Huh?
He did have a big play. He did have a very big play. Denzel Perryman is a pretty decent middle linebacker. Nick
Kwiatkowski.
I always forget that name.
Yeah.
And
then the weak side linebacker, Corey Littleton.
Yeah. Very good linebackers. I don't think they're to be, taken lightly by any means. And then when you look at the cornerback room, you obviously have Casey Hayward Jr., the previous Chargers, Trayvon Mullen Jr., Damon Arnett, Nate Hobbs. It's a solid group. Not anyone that I'm necessarily... to me, none of those guys are Tre'Davious White.
Yeah. And then a highly thought-about safety from this most recent draft class, Trayvon Morrig, starting at free safety for them, and Jonathan Abram at the other safety position.
Abram's a big hitter.
So, yeah.
Big hitter. So be curious about that.
Yeah, sure is. And Morrig has real nice coverage skills on tape, so that'll be interesting to see how he plays as well. Just, again, from a perspective of draft analysis. I think Cody even mocked him to the Steelers in one of his mock drafts.
That I did.
Special teams.
Punters, AJ Cole, kicker, Daniel Carlson. Good kicker for sure. And then the kick returner, punt returner, you got Kenyon Drake doing kick return with Henry Ruggs back there as well. And then Hunter Renfro and Henry Ruggs at punt return. So Henry Ruggs should not be on the field for punt returns, thank God. But he will probably be on the field for kick returns.
Man, long snappers are people too. Trent Slegg is their long snapper.
Yeah, whatever. I'm not doing a complete roster breakdown of them. I'm just letting you know who we're going
we
up against.
We just did.
Whatever. Again, we can't thank you guys enough for listening. Be sure to follow. Hopefully next Monday or Tuesday we will be doing this.
The goal will be Monday.
The goal will be Monday. Who plays Monday night? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Anyways, we will try to go after Monday nights, aim for Tuesday or something, on the weeks that the Monday night it has an immediate impact to either the Steelers or the AFC North. Or later on if it even just does playoff stuff. So very curious. It's Lions, Packers, we don't care. Expect to hear from us Monday night. So again, thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.